Dave Reneke from DaveReneke.com is on the phone. David, hello.
Yeah, good morning again, Bilko, and happy Royal Day.
Yeah, happy what?
Royal Day.
Explain. Oh, of course, the new baby.
The new baby, yeah.
Do we have a name yet, sir?
No, but I've got an idea. Would you like to hear it?
Please.
Look, this would be the first baby too, by the way. This could be a little bit of trivia. Just check me if I'm wrong. This may be the first royal baby that's got dual citizenship.
Eh?
Think about it.
Oh, Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
I thought she had to give up her US citizenship, though.
I don't know. Anyway, if she hasn't, there's a good chance it could have an American connotation to. Hey, can you imagine Prince Randy? Oh, no.
We had that with Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. I'm sure he was very Randy from Africa, but anyway.
I think we better turn our gaze skyward.
All right, let's have a look at this 4-billion-year-old Earth rock discovered on the moon. Hang on. Earth rock on the moon? Shouldn't it be the other way around?
No, you heard it right. This is the greatest turnaround I've ever heard of or even read about. Nobody would have expected this to happen. Certainly not in 1971. You weren't even around then. But look, what they did, they came back from the moon in 1971 with a whole bunch of bag full of moon rocks, 42 kilos of rock. And we examined those in a laboratory here, but only with the technology we had of the day. And if you remember, around that period of time, I think I was using 8-track cartridges.
Oh, God, David, don't tell us that.
Yeah, in my car with speed stripes on it.
Did they get stuck often? Did the tape curl up around the heads?
Oh, bloody awful stuff. Yeah. And then you used them in radio stations for a while. And then cassettes came out, which was a bit of a boon, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved them, although I never cleaned my heads enough, so...
No. But look, these rocks, came back in 1971. Now, we did the best we could with them, but I think mainly these rocks were brought back as a political chest-beating exercise. They were divided up, broken up, and given out to heads of state, governors, princes, dictators too, and all sorts of people got these. In fact, there's 40 bits of moon rock that NASA can't locate, and they're trying to find them. Each one of these would be worth upwards of $1 million each, by the way. But one rock in particular stood out to you, Bilko, and nobody could work out why. It didn't look like the rest of them. Enter Curtin University scientist, who has now gone on, and his name's Alexander Demchin.
Yep.
He's from Curtin University in WA. He's taken it on now, and with modern technology, they're looking again at this rock, and here's the astounding thing he found. The composition of the rock is very similar to granite. Now, granite's something that we find on Earth here, and it's got lots of quartz inside. Quartz only occurs naturally here on Earth, not on the moon. We've never found quartz in moon rock yet. And the big surprise also, they also analysed and found zircon in the rock.
Oh.
Now, zircon's one of those minerals that we use. I think they use it as a fake diamond. But they discovered the zircon in the rock too. It's consistent.
Is it related to cubic zirconia?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, they found it's consistent with terrestrial rocks.
Right.
But nothing ever found on the moon like that. So this rock was a one-off. Why is it there? What happened here? Here's the conclusion, and I think this assumption is pretty right. It works on the process of panspermia, the exchange of material from one world to another by asteroid impact. It would appear that the rock they brought back from the moon is originally here, from here.
So it was spewed out, obviously, in that area of the Pacific Ocean that spewed out into the and formed the moon. This is the theory we've got here. No,
after the event.
After that,
this is something we think happened after the event. A large asteroid hit the Earth and sideswiped it, cut a chunk out. Now it belted it with so much force that it broke free of the Earth's gravity and it floated around in space. The moon was much closer in those years, billions of years ago. It was much closer. Huge in the sky, it would have been. And there's a good chance that it fell on the moon, and we found it. This is probably what we found. There are more likely other ones up there as well. So the conclusion that's been drawn is that the bit of rock that we brought back is original. How strange is this, though? Listen to the twist. We go to the moon and spend all this money and time and effort to bring back moon rocks worth $1 million a shot and more, and we're bringing back a rock that originally came from here. It's a good story. Yeah. It's got a lot of good science behind it, and it shows you that the new technology we're working with now, it's pretty much like the CSI boys would use as well to go back and look at a cold case.
DaveArenicki.com has more on that. Tell us about China's plans to build a moon base on the south of the planet.
Now, a lot of people have said, what's going on with China? Remember, we got a little rover. One of their rovers is on the other side. And nobody has had any advanced information on what they found, what they're doing there, but they've now made a bit of a slip. They put out a press release recently. This is the China National Space Administration, by the way. That's their version of NASA. By the way, China is spending more on spaceflight than any other country in the world except the United States.
Well, they want to dominate there now.
Well, what they want to do is put a scientific research station, a lunar base on the moon's south pole. This is where the rover is. They've been looking for it, and you can bet your life they've found water there. If they find water, this is an ideal place to put a base, because you can use the water for so many things. You can make rocket fuel from that if you want to, hydrogen and oxygen. You've got cleaning water, you've got drinking water, you've got water to fertilize the soil to grow things in. So, look, this is what they plan to do. They also want to put a more permanent space station in orbit in the next few years. They'll probably do that in the first or second half of the 2020s at the latest. Sometime next decade, this is going to be done. A permanent way station is a halfway point between here and the moon, and also a good place to stop off and refresh or replenish your cargo or pick cargo up on your way to Mars. Watch this space. The next decade is going to be a watershed period in space history. We've done nothing in 50 years. We've gone nowhere, really. We've done not much. All we've done is what we've been doing on the space station in low Earth orbit.
Yeah.
But you'll see that at the start of the new decade coming up, Bill Kay, you're going to find that this is going to be reminiscent of the 1960s. In fact, 1961, when Kennedy made that amazing speech at Rice University, where he wants to put a man on the moon and get him back before the end of the decade, we're going to see the same sort of thing happen next decade, but only this is going to be the prize with this one, is a man on Mars or a woman on Mars.
Look, if it's not an international effort, I'm thinking China may actually spearhead anything on Mars. They may even have the first colony there the way they're going. So
I'd say so. There's a pretty good chance. They definitely want to do it. They've got the backing of Russia as well, but you've got also the inclusion of private enterprise here. We can't dismiss them. Elon Musk, you've got Jeff Bezos is now launching. He's bringing his rocket back. It looks like he'll be putting paying passengers into space as well. Branson is also on the cusp. You're going to find a big change. I think we're going to see a lot of things happen in this new decade coming.
So I'm thinking NASA's starting to become irrelevant. And with this story about their moon rocket, the $17 billion moon rocket never reaching the launch pad, I'm thinking, how can they justify their existence?
That's a problem. I don't know what to say about that. I'm very disappointed to hear that that may be. And what they're saying here, for those that may not know, this huge rocket they've got, the moon rocket, that they've been working on and spending so much money on may being a white elephant. Musk has turned around and said, what are you doing? I'm doing the same thing for a quarter of the price. So it's time that NASA turned their operations over to, I think, private enterprise. The timeline is this. They want to get people, Americans, back to the surface of the moon. They can't do it now until 2024. I mean, this is too long ago. And it's almost $17 billion that's been spent on this thing. The initial cost was 10. So they've gone way over. And the problem with it is, well, that each flight of this giant rocket they've got is going to cost at least $1 billion a flight.
See, Donald Trump should be concentrating on humanitarian efforts. I know he has no love for the space program. It's not a big priority for him. So maybe he should shut NASA down. I know there's a lot of people working there, but is it now irrelevant? Can those people be absorbed into the private commercial ventures?
Sadly, I think you're right. I think that's the best way to look at this. This thing was due to fly in 2017. It was kept grounded by a whole bunch of technical problems. A recent hurricane didn't help matters. But look, each flight costing $1 billion, that's 11 times more than SpaceX's Heavy Falcon rocket's going to do it for. Yeah. It doesn't compute. And they spent so much money. I've been over there and I've had a look at this complex. It is absolutely ginormous. But we'll see how it all plays out. I think NASA are finally getting the message that they've become basically a redundant space agency when it comes to launching. I think they are better off using their technical capabilities, their equipment, the land they've got, launch pads, and and their infrastructure there to combine with private enterprise. Mm. I think you'll see that happen. But I think the new SLS system, the new rocket we've been all banking on and hoping on, may just end up being a bit of a dead one. Yeah. Mm.
More about that at DavidRenke.com. Hey, one final thing, David. What's this story about a simulation of a doomsday asteroid scenario? That stuff excites me, but it's like a Bruce Willis movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, it's exactly what we... Look, I got a call from a radio station the other day and said, look, we're going to be clobbered. Why are we told about this? I said, what do you mean clobbered? Well, there's a rock heading for us. It's going to hit us in 10 years, and it's huge. Well, there is a rock out there, and it is huge, and it is coming our way. It's called Apophis.
That's right.
2029 is going to make a close pass here. It's going to go past us so close that you'll be able to see it with a pair of binoculars.
Is it within the orbit of the moon? Is that what they're saying?
It's inside, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Now, this is a fictional scenario being played out. It's being played out by NASA, who have now started up what's called the Planetary Defense Coordination Office, PDCO. It's part of an exercise. They're going to examine things like the asteroid deflection opportunities. How could we move one of these if it was really happening? They're looking at a hit scenario. This object coming our way, about 300 metres in diameter, that's enough to wipe out the east coast of Australia. Now, this is going to be played out on computer. We're going to look at, in conjunction with the European Space Agency, how to look at an emergency like this. How do we manage the public's reaction to the news and draw up plans, sadly, for pre- and post-disaster relief, you know? These are the things we need to do, dry runs we need to do now in case the real-life scenario does ever play out, in case we see something out there that does pose a problem. You need time to plan and put something into effect. Mm. But if you hear about this story or read it, it's not real. It is made up, but it is based on a real object that is out there. Mm. But it's on a brush for 2029, a fair way from here now.
See, I can envisage when this thing gets a lot closer, there will be Apophis cults being developed.
Oh, of course
it probably could interfere with our satellites because they're within the within that range of being around there. So, I mean, it will be disruptive economically, socially, politically, but we will survive. That's the main thing. So.
Yeah, T-shirts. I survived a pompous, $19.
You and I need to start printing that now, mate. Let's get into this now.
I think so. But look, it's good. Everything's good. Great skies at the moment. Your skies, our skies are all brilliant. A little bit cool, rug up. We've just gone through a heavy meteor shower period. Nothing due in the near future, but the skies are going to become a little better for us. We're going to see Jupiter appearing in the evening sky next month, so hang on for that one. But at the moment, everything seems to be going well. I just watched the space program with bemused interest at the moment. It just seems to be so many players in the game now. Yeah. We just don't know which way the checkers are going to be moved on the board.
And if you do need advice on good telescopes, DavidRenke.com has some really good links there you can discover for yourself. And look, if you want, you can ring Dave and he can help you out in buying your first telescope. So.
Yeah, I might have some information. You're how far north?
I'm just an hour north of Brisbane.
Yeah, Cairns is a little way up, isn't it?
Oh, Cairns is about 16-hour drive.
Yes, that's a fair way. No, we've got some people I've just started talking to who are doing astronomy tours in that region for people, visitors, and it's a great show. They take you out under the stars and explain the Aboriginal culture and all that sort of thing. But anyway, someone we might look at that one day, and if you're travelling up north, you might want to...
People from Cairns hear us, so that's fine.
Mm, okay. No, look, everything's fine at the moment, so we'll have some more news for you, of course, next time we talk.